Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's Tuesday, January 26, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
We have Greg Hunter joining us this afternoon, right after we get through the market report. So we will get started right away. We had a great day for gold today. Gold finally broke out to its point of 1110 per ounce. That was a major resistance point. And so we'll have to see if she can hold it. But we had a good day in gold today. Gold was up 1420 at 1123. But silver was up 29 at 1461. Platinum was up 18 at 880. Palladium was up 6 at $497. USDX today, a little pressure, not much, 0.25 at 99.06. And let's see, crude oil was up 1 at 31.34. And we have the paper markets today. They were all big. Hey, FOMC meeting this week. They're going to keep them in the positive for as long as they can. Let me pull numbers today. I had a big 6% drop overnight. And the Dow was up 282 points at 16,167. The NASDAQ was up 49 at 45.67. The S&P was up at 19.03, up 26 at 1.41%. 10-year dipped. People aren't buying the big increases on the Dow. They're going to the bonds today. You had the 10-year dip 1.99%, 10-year yield 0.03 to the downside. Euro, I guess, showing a little bit of strength at 109. And we have the Japan, Hong Kong, Asian markets, Shanghai. They were all down big. But, of course, China was down 6%. Germany, 0.89% to the positive. London was up a few points. And before we get to Greg Hunter, I just wanted to touch on what, you know, yesterday I talked about the $20 gold pieces, and I just wanted to make comment. The Mint State 63 $20 Liberty gold piece since Monday of last week with a $30 move in gold, and I did use the new prices for gold today. It's not up $30. It's not up $40. It's up 75 dollars since a week ago. I think the Mint State 63 $20 Liberty gold piece was probably the most underpriced $20 gold piece back in 2010. It hit almost $3,000. And what an incredible buy at $1,425 today for the Mint State 63 $20 Liberty gold piece. It always amazes me. You have all these financial planners out there, and they all tell you that, oh, you don't want to buy $20 gold. You want to buy shares. You want to buy mining shares. They're going to give you the most leverage. They're going to give you the biggest increases for your money. But yet the $20 gold pieces will do exactly. They'll give you much just the same or more, and you have something real in your hand. They corrected, they pulled back, and that Mint State 63 $20 gold piece is a great coin to be buying today. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And I guess, do we have are you on the Al?
Yes, I am.
Okay, fantastic. There was just, while we were waiting for Greg Hunter, I don't think he's here yet. Greg? No.
Nope.
Hopefully Frank will let us know when he's here. I just wanted to make one more comment. Two things that I saw in the news today. Tyco, Johnson, they're merging to a tune of a $14 billion deal. And again, you have these two companies, and guess where the headquarters is going to be listed. The corporation is going to be in Ireland. So now you have these two companies, two international companies that, hey, they get out of paying U.S. taxes. So you know what? That's just another,
I don't see why they should have to pay taxes. Probably half the people of this country don't pay any taxes right now. They're just trying to join the line.
Really?
I mean, the government doesn't. So? It's a third. It's probably 30-40% of the
Americans.
Yeah,
but for those of us who do, we don't like carrying the whole system on our back. So, you know,
that's why everybody needs to stop paying taxes. I'm not saying
if people wanted to fix this country and fix it quick, I agree. There should be some sort of a Jubilee tax day where everybody gets together and they don't pay their taxes for one day, for one year. Put your money in a bank account so when they come after you, can, you know, if you don't want to go to jail, you can pay it. That would make things it would get things corrected very quickly.
I can remember back in the 90s, we saw letters that were allegedly copies of letters that were allegedly produced by people in the IRS offices that admitted there were 60 million non-filers back then. And by now,
they're all getting government checks. They're all getting government checks.
Yeah, I know.
When almost 50% get a government check one way or another, yeah, they don't pay much tax, do they?
No.
They don't have to. So there was another one. Let's see. We don't have Greg call. Do we have Greg on the line yet? Oh, we do.
How you doing?
Hi, Greg Hunter. How are you doing today, Greg? Thank you for joining us today.
Good to be invited on your wonderful show. I love you both. It's going good. Good for the people who see it coming. Not so good for the people who believe that this is just a little downturn. I suspect that the powers that be are going to pour on. I mean, Ray Dalio at Bridgewater, I mean, what do they have, $100 billion in management? Ray Dalio, the government needs to do QE4.
Yeah,
they haven't ripped this off enough.
Do you think they can?
Yes, I do.
You think they can do QE4?
Yes, I do. They're going to do it until the dollar blows sky high. They're going to. This is an election year. Janet Yellen, this is my opinion, Janet Yellen was a Obama appointee, and he said, now, if it gets tough, for the Democrats, you're going to, help us out here because the economy can't completely implode, although some people say Obama won't get blamed for it. I can't really believe that's true. I mean,
George W. Bush is still responsible for the problems we're having.
Well, they're all responsible. I mean,
I agree. I agree. But the idea that anybody but me, I'm not responsible.
George W. Bush,
else,
I remember being at CNN when they were waving off the regulators for mortgage fraud applications, that you had income way higher than what you could, and there's all these mortgage fraud applications, and of course, you saw how that ended, and I mean, Goldman Sachs has just paid $5 billion to settle the improper handling of mortgages, fraud. You know, I mean, it's unbelievable.
I know. And what's really unbelievable is, how about I murder somebody and listen, I'll pay a fine. How's that?
You didn't even pay the fine. That's like you murdered. That's like you doing something wrong. And Melody Cederstrom and all of her clients pay your fine. That's what happens. The shareholders pay the fine.
It's not just paying the fine, though. Doesn't anybody go to jail in this country? I mean, illegals don't hardly go to jail. Who's going to jail anymore? The rich people don't go to the poor people, and we can't hardly find the middle class. What's happening? Are our jails becoming ghost towns?
You're just supposed to work, dang it. Don't you get it? You just work.
Yeah, I heard about it, but...
Just pay your taxes, and listen, we'll fine you if you don't have your health care, and, you don't get anything if you make too much, which isn't that much, really.
People don't get angry anymore.
When they get their free stuff taken away.
That's right.
When somebody takes the toys, that's when they get serious.
Well, you talk about people getting angry,
and what it reminds me of. I saw your interview with Michael Pinto.
Oh, he is like a human computer.
I understand that. And you know what else? That guy reminds me of Robert De Niro when he starred in the movie Raging Bull 20 years ago, thereabouts. He doesn't just know his stuff. He's passionate about it, and he's even angry about what he knows. I mean, listening to this guy, he is persuasive, and I don't know what got me off on that, but we're talking about angry. He doesn't just talk about what's happening. He's angry about what's happening, and it gives him a different level of credibility. He's a little like Trump in that regard. You know, a lot of people are saying the key to Trump is that he's willing to get angry, while everybody else says, well, I understand. Trump says, no, I'm pissed. I'm angry.
Well, if I was Trump, I don't want to be a Trump supporter, but they bring up this, oh, he's had four bankruptcies. You know what I would say if I was Trump? Yeah, I had four bankruptcies. I took it in the teeth. I lost money because unless he's filing bankruptcy fraud, he didn't. You lose control of your assets when you file bankruptcy. The bankruptcy court takes control of them. I lost money. I didn't call my buddies and get them to bail me out four times. Yes, I lost money. I took it in the choppers. Yeah, you damn right I filed bankruptcy. I lost money.
Yeah.
I didn't go, too big to fail banking buddies didn't, you know, I'm not one of those people that goes out and again, I get paid off. I get them to pay off my stupid, business deals, which I made a mistake, like Goldman Sachs and AIG, where they got a $13 billion backdoor bailout, which would have bankrupted the country. They should have bankrupted them. That's what all these other banks would have moved up. All these other mid-sized banks would have gotten their assets and moved up. We don't need them. They got this idea. Oh, we have to have it. Oh, Jamie Dimon, he's so brilliant. Oh, Jamie Dimon, $30 billion in fines and rested there, $35 billion. He could have bought Dell Computer and had $5, $6, $8 billion left over. Fines, restitution, and losses. Jamie Dimon, how does he have a job?
I guess he must know somebody, huh?
Well, I'm telling you, listen, I don't like Bernie Sanders. You have the right for to have. Oh, no. Wait, when you somebody says you have the right, that means you have the right to get somebody else to pay for it. That's what that means.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't believe in the free college and the free love fest and everything's free, because I think it'll crush business. It'll be a downturn. It'll be magnify the already horrible downturn. I believe in bankruptcy. That I do believe.
I understand. And, there's some evidence to suggest
they got all this money
government.
Nobody goes to jail.
There's some evidence to suggest government doesn't want anybody filing for bankruptcy. They passed laws, I don't know, 5, 8 years ago to tighten up the bankruptcy laws where it was more difficult. It's not impossible. But you look at what happened to Greece, where the original, I can't think of his name, the original Secretary of the Treasury for Greece, he came in when he and Tsipras were first elected, came in and said, hey, we're bankrupt. He just said, yeah, we're bankrupt. They wouldn't let him file for bankruptcy.
No,
they kept him in this thing. They don't want you to get out of the debt. They want you to stay in there and keep pulling the plow in the vain hope that someday you're going to pay this thing off. You're never going to pay it off in Greece. But
why not
bankruptcy? There's an aversion to bankruptcy right now, or at least I suspect there may be. Do you see any evidence of that?
I think the banks are in trouble in Europe. I think the Italian banks already had four smaller banks go under. Somebody killed themselves. Now you have people like Martin Armstrong, who has his economic confidence model, you know, the theory of cycles, a brilliant guy. And he's telling his clients, and he's got clients all over the world, he's telling his clients, according to his website, that, you know, open a bank account in America. Oh, because there's going to be bail-ins and they can't pay the debt. They're going to end up taking depositors' money or tying, wrapping it up into their bond market, whatever. They can't. Let's look at Puerto Rico. I mean, Puerto Rico, people don't realize Puerto Rico. Look at Puerto Rico, $71 billion. And think about it. Listen to the math of this now. North Carolina, the state I live in, has 10 million people. I don't know if we have $1 billion in debt. The governor wants to put out some bonds and fix roads and whatever for a couple of billion, which I'm totally against, because that's living, that's taking your money from the future and living today fat and happy. But we don't have $1 billion in debt in North Carolina. The state budget is $22 billion a year. North Carolina, roughly. Okay. Puerto Rico has $71 billion in debt with a population of 3.5 million. Talk about a fraud fest. And what they want Congress to give them is Chapter 9 ability. Chapter 9, in other words, they can file for bankruptcy and say, thanks for the money, poof, bye. That's the problem with the debt. In the big picture, let's just talk big picture. When is this going to go under? I don't know. But the big picture, we grew the debt since 08, $60 trillion, $60 trillion. The global GDP is what, 68, 69, 70 trillion? We grew it almost the entire GDP of the globe since 2008. We just piled on the debt. And it wasn't payable back then. And they used debt and sleight of hand and QE and bond buying and phony accounting and rate rigging and LIBOR, you know, with LIBOR and Forex rigging and all this fraud. Gold rigging, silver rigging, all this fraud to prop it up. You know, went to FASB and you don't have to, you know, say what the, you know, mark the market accounting. In other words, what the IRS does. Oh, you want to give us your house for the taxes? Yeah, you can't tell us to value it in the year 2050. Here's what it's worth today. That's mark the market accounting. And so this is the problem with all this debt, and we just got more debt, and we are more tenuous than we were before. And, you know, people want to know when. Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to see banks and companies and countries going to say, sorry, we can't pay. We're not going to pay. And one way or the other, they come straight out and do it, or they devalue the currency, or they have bail-ins, or you're going to start seeing this year. Mm-hmm. And they're going to try to stop it. I just had Gerald Celente on. He says they're going to try to stop it. They did it before. They're not going to be able to. That's what Celente says. They just won't be able to. It'll be a fighting retreat.
Well, and they know exactly where they know exactly what they're doing, where it's heading, and they know what.
Well, I don't know if they know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree. I don't think they know what they're doing. They're doing whatever they can, but I don't think they can. I don't think, you know, it. They don't know that what they're doing has a probability of success. They only know where there's only a couple things they can do. They haven't worked up until now, but who knows? Maybe they'll work. Keep on banging your head on the wall, and maybe you get a hole in it before you're done.
Well,
let's take a break for a couple of commercial announcements. And Melody and I will be back with Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. Please stay tuned.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-2000. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival with our guest Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. Now, I got a couple of personal questions, kind of personal questions for Greg. First off, you have regular access to some of the most intelligent, insightful people in the markets today.
Yes.
I'm sure you're learning a great deal.
Yes.
Do you have any plans to write a book of your own?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
Another question for you that's a little off the wall, but I'm going to ask it anyway. You're making a difference, right? I mean, you have one of the most intelligent and informative programs on the internet or even mainstream media, right? But you're not singing the party line. Do you ever feel any concern for your safety?
I'm just careful about locking my doors at night and, I park everything in my garage at night, and no, don't leave any cars sitting out. And I don't usually know.
I was just wondering because it's kind of a lonely business out there on point.
Well, want to hear a funny story? I'll tell you a funny story that just happened to me.
Go ahead.
A couple funny stories. If we're going to get personal. And I usually don't like that. Me. I don't like it. It's not about me. It's about you, them. You know, it's about the information. But here, it means you're talking about personal stuff. Here's two funny stories. So I have Peter Schiff on. And I look for a title where somebody says something. And that's just what I like to do because I like to title it with somebody's thought about, you know, like tonight I'm going to have Celente on. I think the title is going to be Central Banks Produce More Monetary Meth. Schiff came on, smart guy. Manages at least a couple of billion dollars. I don't know exactly how much, but a couple of billion. And he blurts out, it's going to be a horrible Christmas. You know what? It was. It was a terrible Christmas. Look at all the layoffs. Look at all that. It wasn't a good Christmas. It was a horrible Christmas. So that was the title I used. It's going to be a horrible Christmas, Peter Schiff. Do you know that CNBC had him on a week later and tried to use the exact same title? Yeah. It's going to be a horrible Christmas. Not an accident. They were going to try to leverage that title. If they're so stupid because it says it's going to be a horrible thing, then it has mine first, and then it has them second 6 days later. They got like 3,000 views. I got 150,000 views.
Well, a certain amount of justice in the world, after all.
Isn't that funny? They knew who I am. Okay, they know who I am. They won't tell you that, but they knew who I am because I'm their competitor.
I understand that.
because all
and you're a real competitor because you're trying to get at the truth and they're trying to pump sunshine.
Yes, and here's the next one. Here's the next one. And, you know, people think I'm a Republican. I am not a Republican. Listen, I do appreciate the Republicans for not voting, not a single one voting for Obamacare, but they have their skeletons too. And if there's a Republican in the office, you would think I was a flaming liberal, right? But he, let me tell you this. I called up Hannity the other day, Sean Hannity.
Yeah.
And, you know, they came out with this, the conservatives, Glenn Beck and Thomas Sowell and all these conservatives, George Will, all the conservatives that are against Trump. And that's what I told you. I said, number one, if I was Trump, I said this, but I'm going to say it again. I tell you, yeah, I filed bankruptcy. Damn right I did. I took it the chops. I turned over those assets to the bankruptcy court. I took a loss. I didn't call my buddies and get bailed out. One. Two, Donald Trump, you know, we're conservative. He doesn't have our conservatives. Go pound sand, George Will and Glenn Beck and Thomas Sowell. Go pound sand. I'll tell you why. Why didn't you say, come out, all of you get together 2 weeks ago when Goldman Sachs paid another $5 billion fine for what amounts to fraud? You're conservative? How about all the banker fraud that we've LIBOR? They were convicted of rigging. They admitted to it. Of course, nobody went to jail. Hey, you conservatives. Hey. Bernie Sanders, who they want to paint a crazy guy. And again, I don't believe in anything except for the banking thing because you can't have a vibrant economy with fraud at the top, fraud all over the economy. You can't. You can't. That's why people are buying gold. That's why they should buy gold.
Let me ask you this. And why do we see so much fraud?
Let me finish my point. So the conservatives BS on the conservatives because they won't say a word about rampant multi-trillion-dollar fraud that they have pled guilty and convicted to in big markets. Not a single word. That's not conservative. That is crony capitalism conservatives. That's what that is, because if you believe in capitalism, and I do, and if you believe in conservatism, and I do, then you believe in bankruptcy, and you believe in the rule of law, and you don't have to even invent any new laws. You could just prosecute these people for the fraud they've been convicted and admitted to. That's it. Okay.
I'm just curious. Why do we see so much fraud at the top? Is it because a bunch of criminals have taken over the country, or is the country in such dire straits that the only way they can maintain the illusion of prosperity is by means of some sort of fraud and deception? Do you see what I'm saying here? Is it which came first, the criminals or an economic crack up?
Listen, at some point, and boy, you don't want this. And this is when you talked about all these people that I've talked to and all these experts and all that. Do you know what they uniformly all say? All say, I don't care whether it's Harry Dent or whether it's Bill Holter or whether it's Jim Sinclair or whether it's Jim Rickards. I don't care who you talk, whether you're inflationist or deflationist, John Williams. You know what they all say? When it happens, oh, it's going to be lightning. It's going to be stunning. Stunning.
Who do you think is to blame?
It's going to happen in the internet nanosecond world. It's going to roll over the globe like nothing you've ever seen before.
That might be. It may be that the internet itself is going to be like gasoline on this fire, where previously if you had a recession and depression, it could take years to reach a point where people took it seriously. But with the internet, we could see that black swan event in the morning, and we could see a crash by, before the happy hour at the bar.
Well, again, and this is, we've taken on much more debt. Debt is destabilizing. Equity is stabilizing. Debt is destabilizing. And again, we'll boil it down to the individual, okay? If you own your house and you lose your job, hey, you just got to pay taxes and upkeep. You don't even have to pay insurance. You could just go naked. If you own your house, if you own your car, nobody's going to come out with a tow truck and tow it off because there's no payments. All you got to put is gas in it and change the oil. If you have debt and you miss the payments on that house, you're in the street. If you have debt on a vehicle and you miss the payments on that vehicle, they tow it off your – you understand how destabilizing not paying debt is?
Now, this,
Now, expand that to these trillions of dollars in bonds that we've been told are assets. They are not assets. They are liabilities. And we're going to find out they're tremendous drag liabilities.
When they talk about confidence, you need confidence in the system.
Yes.
The confidence is the foundation for our monetary system. It's a foundation for our debt-based economy, our
Correct.
Debt-based monetary system. What do we need confidence in?
That the money is going to be worth something.
No,
that
the debt will be paid. The debt will be paid. We are in a debt-based monetary system. We are in a debt-based economy. And the confidence has to be when I hand you a worthless piece of paper that's nothing but a debt instrument, you have to have confidence that sooner or later the debt that is represented by that paper, that debt is going to be paid. And as people begin to understand that the debt is too big to be paid, it can't be paid, that is the waning confidence that can take this whole system down, at least in my opinion.
I have a hard time arguing with you there. I have a hard time arguing with you there.
It just crossed my mind just the last couple of days where all of a sudden that became a clear idea. And it makes perfect sense. Debt-based economy, debt-based monetary system, what do we have confidence in? That the debt will be paid. When they admit, no, it's not.
Or the payments. The payments.
Payments.
The payments. Think about it in the smaller scale. The payments. You think about, and this is why when people think about gold, about, oh, it's going to go to 5,000. No, stop that. Stop. No. Don't think that. Think about collateral. Think about the bonds are collateral. If, for example, let's just go back to Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's exactly right.
They don't have to pay the $71 billion right now. They have to make the payments. They can't make the payments. That means the bonds are no good. It means the collateral is no good. Gold, this is what you mean by no counterparty risk. There is no counterparty risk when you hold gold and silver. You hold a tangible. Yeah, you hold your house, your car. So, you know, think about it as an asset, as a collateral. Because when the assets turn into liabilities, and that's what these bonds are doing, then you're going to see, and you might see the dollar go up as everybody else goes down, as everybody currency goes into the tank, people are going to run into the vortex of the dollar, which will you know, as Rob Kirby once said, will turn into a supernova. It'll go up, poof, black hole, done, gone. That's what he thinks will happen. But look what's going on with gold. I mean, here we have this tremendous crash in oil prices, tremendous crash in economy, tremendous crash in the Baltic Dry Index. What's gold doing? Up $15. Up, it's up over 11 now. Silver's up to $14.50. Well, what does that run to? Collateral. It's collateral.
Real assets.
It's real assets.
Yeah. And, again, that's part of the problem they have. If they have to admit that these bonds – turns out the government comes out and says, gee whiz, you'll never believe it, but we can't make good on more than 50% of the bonds. Well, if those bonds are being used as collateral in banks and they become worth half of what they were before, I think they have to call in all of the loans that are based on that collateral, and it can be a multiple under fractional reserve banking.
Yes, and therein lies the problem. Can't be made, or if they say they use these terms, euphemism, haircut, that the bonds will they'll have to have a haircut. That's a default. And that's
I know, but you know, this is another example. Take the haircut like they did with Greece. The creditors have to agree that they're going to take a 50% loss, but nobody's going to file for bankruptcy, which would have been the simplest way out of this thing. Just file for it and be done with it. Can't pay it. Why go through the drama?
It's still a default. They can call it whatever they like.
I agree. But it's not a bankruptcy. And if it were bankruptcy, to my mind, it would be an admission that the debt instruments are worthless, or at least a lot of them are.
But some people
will. And I'm looking at this from the perspective the government, the public, needs to have confidence that the debt can be paid. And if anybody says, half the debt, it's never going to be paid, probably 80, 90% never going to be paid, there goes the confidence. They can't admit that.
Well, you can
bankruptcy
you can,
admits it.
You can Google Alan Greenspan, when he was still Fed chairman in the early middle 2000s before Bernanke took over in March of 06. You know, he was in Congress testifying, and he said, you know, we can guarantee the nominal value, we can guarantee the dollar value, we can't guarantee the buying power of the currency. Yeah. Well, that was a big tell.
Yeah.
And right now we're getting deflation, which has got a lot of people going, well, you know, what about, you know, you go buy gold for inflation? No, you buy it for an asset. If your bond goes poof and gold doesn't, what's better?
Oh, yeah. Gold. I mean, the thing about it is that the bond can disappear. The gold, whatever happens to it, it's still going to exist.
That's right.
You know, in the Bible, the Old Testament, they have the concept of the Jubilee.
Yes.
Where they cancel all the debt every 50 years.
Yes.
That wasn't a bad thing. Suppose I loaned you 10 ounces of gold, and we come up to the Jubilee, and the debt is canceled. I'm out the 10 ounces. I don't get them. You get to keep the 10 ounces of gold, and you may not be entitled to them. You didn't earn them, whatever. But the main thing about it is the gold is still there in the economy. The gold hasn't been destroyed. If we had a Jubilee today, we would destroy all the debt. And the debt is our form of wealth. It won't be there. The economy collapses if the debt disappears.
And that's what deflation is, debt destruction. People think deflation is prices going down. No, that's a symptom of debt destruction. Because nobody has any cash and willing to sell anything for, you know, cash or for an asset or for, you know, whatever. So
the whole thing is a kind of madness. Do you see any silver lining? Is there any happy news anywhere on the horizon? You talk to scores of people that are extraordinarily well informed. Does anybody see a happy, you know, silver lining anywhere around here?
I hate to tell you this, but no matter what camp you're in, inflation or deflation, Harry Dent, David Stockman, they're deflation, debt destruction bond. And I think they're right. I don't know how the dollars are any good at, you know, any kind of long-term or medium-term if the bonds are no good. But, you know, and Jim Sinclair and Bill Holter on the other side and Jim Rickards, who says you should buy gold. I'm going to have him on, I don't know, in a few months. But the debt has to be dealt with. There are going to be losses. And this is why Ray Dalio, you think about what these guys are saying. We need more QE4. We don't want any losses. We don't want any losses is what the upper echelon is saying. And the bottom echelon, we haven't had the inflation yet in America, but you're seeing it all over the world.
Yep.
You're already seeing it all over the world. Look at Canadian. Look at the loonie. It's what is a 70 to a dollar. It used to be one to one several years ago. Their food inflation is going through the roof. There are stories on it about the internet. Look at Brazil or Argentina or any of these other countries, and it is coming here. It will come here.
Well, it pretty much has to, unless the government is going to be destroyed by the debt. They're going to have to admit they can't pay the debt unless they create inflation and they can monetize their way out of it. I've been astonished that they've maintained deflation as long as they have. I mean, we're sitting on a teeter-totter where the rest of the world is inflating to supposedly stimulate their economy. We're deflating and apparently putting a drag on the economy.
Well, you know what?
And the government's going along with it, and the debtors are the ones that are in great danger when you deal with deflation.
Well,
it makes the dollars more expensive. You're paying off your debt with more valuable dollars.
But here's the other thing about deflation, about the oil. Let's say the oil price. And I've been trying to figure out they're not that stupid. And they're not that stupid to put Iran online with a, you know, at least right now, boom, a half a million barrels a day. And before they got sanctioned, they were getting 3.5 million barrels a day, pumping out 3.5 million barrels a day, Iran. And, you know, they're going to have a million barrels a day. And I wonder if they're putting an oil glut onto the market to get oil as low as it can go. When they do devalue the dollar, and they are, when they do devalue the dollar, that it won't be such a big hit. That, you know, okay, so oil doubles from 30 to 60. Well, that's better than it doubling from 60 to 120 or from 100 to 200. I mean, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out because they're not. They got a reason for putting Iran online. They got a reason for doing this.
Well, that's a presumption. That's a presumption that they have a reason, a rational reason. We live in a kind of madhouse. We're trying to make hardest part of this is trying to make sense of things that are completely irrational. Let's take a break for a couple more commercials. Melody and I will be back with our guest Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. Just a moment, please stay tuned.
Job
stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival with our guest, Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. Greg recently interviewed Michael Pinto. Really a wonderful interview. I mean, it's very intelligent guy, really knows his stuff, passionate, angry. Again, it was like watching De Niro playing Raging Bull. That's the way it impressed me. The essence of his comments in his recent interview with you were that was to argue that you have to be adult or a liar to believe this is just a normal correction, what we're seeing in the markets right now. He lists bear markets around the world, says it's a very serious correction, and so on. What do you think, what's the chances that the market correction that we've seen during the first 3-4 weeks of this month, all right, is this going to bounce back next week? In February, in March, are we going to see a bounce back, or have we seen a peak, and are we now headed down the slope?
Okay. Of course, this is. First, I want to say something. We've never been here, so the idea is that they know exactly how this is going to go. This has never happened. We've never had this much debt in human history in the globe. And the last time we had even close to this, $60 trillion less, was in 2008. We all know how that worked out. So we've never been here. So I don't know if they know exactly how it's going to go. This is an election year. I think the Fed is not done. I think there's a chance they could drive it up, although that's a risky trade. But if they do try to drive it up, you can bet that gold, and look at gold and silver, they're going to go right up with what they do to drive it up, because whatever they do to drive it up is going to include money printing. They're going to have to print money, but they can't bail out everybody. So this could be a carnival of default and inflation. I don't know. I think they're going to make another stab, another real good run at it, particularly this is an election year. And this is a Democratic administration with a democratically appointed a Democrat, the President of the United States, a Democrat, appointed Janet Yellen as the head of the Fed. And I can't believe he wouldn't have gotten some kind of assurances from her that they'll do everything they can. That said, here's what Pinto says. I want to bring his salient math point, and this is it. That is, listen, in 2008, we were what? Fed funds rate, which is the overnight rate banks charge each other for money. It's a key rate. Fed funds rate was what? 5.25%? And we went from 5.25% to 0.25% to 0 to 0.25%. Now we're at 0.25% to 0.50%, 0.25%, 0.25%. It ends up being 0.35. You know, that's what the overnight. They can't rig. There's no nothing left there. They can take back the quarter of a point. They can go to negative interest rates. Of course, I don't know how well that's going to work, and neither do they.
It's irrational.
It's irrational, but they don't have a lot of. They cannot give people an interest rate style debt cut, debt relief. They can't do it. It won't happen. Mortgage rates aren't going to go lower. They can't do it. They just not much. There's not much there in terms of what they can do other than massive printing money, send people checks, buy the bad debt, monetize the debt. But then you have, what are you monetizing with? They're printing dollars. So then you're back to the so people ask me all the time, should I be in a credit union or should I be in a bank? Well, the credit union is better. However, you're fighting the last battle. You're worried about the solvency of the bank, and it's the solvency of the currency. Mm-hmm. If they keep doing this, they'll kill the currency. I mean, what did the new president of Argentina, according to Gerald Celente, who's going to be on tonight past midnight, do? What did the new president do? Cut the Argentine currency by 30%?
They do that periodically down in Argentina, though. I mean, that's part of their culture. I think they cut it every 10 years or so. I don't know that 10 years is an accurate number, but they have been here before.
You're close. You're close.
It's standard procedure with those people, and they don't seem to get upset about it. I've talked to one man who lives down there. They're used to it. They make their own money. They barter within towns and communities. They print up their own little currency, and they barter within the community, and they use their own money, and they get by.
Well, what do you think gold is worth down there? What do you think a side of beef is worth down there? What do you think a dozen eggs are worth down there? What do you think bales of hay are worth down there? You see what I'm saying?
I don't know.
Because the money's not worth much. I mean, all you're doing is trying to have a marker where you can, so you don't have to, hand somebody some eggs for, a couple of pounds of hamburger. You're trying to, have some economy, which, the money is fungible, and you can have an economy. But the problem is, what do you think happens when they drop 30% of the value of their currency overnight? What happens to the people holding gold coins?
Their gold has gone up. Their gold should go up, but the currency's going down. And if you've got your mattress stuffed with, 100 peso bills,
you got screwed.
Yeah, that's right.
This is why the currency could. This is funny, but it's weird. I mean, the currency, the U.S. dollar, could strengthen. They might raise interest rates. I know that sounds bizarre, right? They might raise interest rates to protect the dollar. That's what Rob Kirby said. Oh, they're buying all this debt. Everybody's cashing out for whatever reason. They don't believe in it. They need the cash. Whatever. They've lost $1 trillion in debt, in terms of bonds at the Exchange Stabilization Fund, which is the real power broker in Washington. They say that they bought all this debt, and they're buying the debt, and the reduction of the treasury bonds and dollars out there isn't consistent with low interest rates, so they had to raise the rates. I mean, so they may raise rates another quarter, I don't know. They may suck in money from all over the world and say, okay, well, this year we're going to suck in everybody's money because, we'll actually be paying a positive interest rate, and Europe is doing bail-ins, and people like Martin Armstrong, who's a brilliant guy, saying, "Hey, you should open a bank account in America." It's weird. It's very weird.
Should you open a bank account, or should you get a fistful of gold coins and keep them in your pocket? Should my bank be in my pocket?
Some people should listen. I'm very reticent about telling people to buy gold because, I've had people call me, and I don't sell anything. I sell no gold. I make no money off gold. I have you guys as an advertiser at Melody, and I've never had a single complaint. I'm not just saying this so I can, but I had a lot of people I went through that, oh my gosh, I put their name in there, their name and fraud, and oh God, they got convicted of failing. No, they're no good. I've had a lot of people try to sponsor my How to Buy Gold and Silver page, and you guys have been great, and I've never had a single complaint. And that's a true thing, and you didn't pay me to say that. And I don't, you know, you can stop advertising with me tomorrow, and I'd still tell people to go to you. But
thank you for saying so.
Some people should buy gold. Some people maybe should only buy some silver. Some people should buy a new set of tires for their car. Some people should have some cash in a box and always keep a certain amount of cash at home, never let it get below a certain amount. Some people ought to be buying food and water and fix the, you know, their plumbing and replace the, you know, the, some people should not be holding gold because they got to cash out of it. And if we do get a suck down in the value, which I think it's over, I do think we're at some kind of a bottom. So does Charles Nenner. He thinks there's not much left down from here. And we were really at mining cost right here. We're at about mining cost, where a little, maybe a little higher, the average mining cost. I think it's something like $1,000. We're at 1,100. But anyway. But if you can do it and you can hold it, I think you got to, what I have been telling people, get ready and stay ready, because this is going to happen quickly. When it falls on its face, when the dollar jumps off the high dive and realizes there's 2 inches of water in the deep end of the pool, you're not going to have, you're in the mid-flight, you can't do anything. That's all there's going to be to it. You're going to get a face full of cement. So you got to get ready, and you got to stay ready. That's what I've been telling people for a couple of years. And who in the heck would have ever? Well, here's another thing. All my guests they never would have dreamed they'd go to the lengths and do the things that they. I mean, rampant fraud, and they, you know, they look the other way at the government. I mean, convicted of these of LIBOR rigging and gold rigging and silver rigging and forex rigging. If they rigged forex market, they rigged the gold market. Period. The end.
Yeah.
And so that's what they have done, and at some point, and it will be a, what everybody believes, it will be a very quick end. That's, and incidentally, I used to do fraud at the networks, and I used to do all kinds of frauds. I mean, I did, you know, I always did number stories because they were number stories. I didn't have to worry about being politically correct. I didn't have to be, whether you're white or black, here are the numbers, and this is fraud. And but here's that Bernie Madoff. I mean, I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. Bernie Madoff went to his Hamptons home one Friday afternoon, had a lovely weekend, came home Sunday night, had a beautiful night's sleep, went into work the next morning. The FBI walked in at 9:30. He's never seen the light of day since. Frauds end quickly. And I got to tell you, this is one enormous, huge, global fraud. And when it ends, it will end. I guarantee you it'll be stunning at how fast it ends.
Well, that's scary for everyone. Pinto, when you were interviewing him, he said that in 2008, the banks were insolvent. But he said the difference today is it's not only true that the banks are insolvent. This is now the sovereigns, meaning the governments, are insolvent, and the conclusion is there's no one left to bail us out.
Let's extrapolate that out just a little bit farther, where they say the governments. That means the bonds. People think, oh, we printed money. Nope, not yet. We printed bonds. We issued debt. The bonds are unpayable. They are insolvent. That's what's insolvent. And when you say, oh, we're going to print a bunch of money, we're going to make the payments, then you're basically just defaulting with inflation. It's a default. Haircut, same difference. It's a default. Whatever you want to call it, it'll be a default through inflation. I think it'll be a cut. They're going to try to protect the currency. This is the knife's edge. They can't just bail out everybody. And so certain people are going to let go under because, you see, there's a real true deflation. There's a default. And other people are going to print money. That's what they did the last time. They had to protect the currency as much as they can. It's going to be a carnival of default and bankruptcy and bailout. It's going to be a carnival. We've never seen this. I'm trying to figure out what's going to happen. This has never happened in our 5,000 or 6,000 year recorded history. You can never say, "Oh yeah, back in the 1800s." Oh yeah, back in the in Caesar's. No. This has never happened on this scale, with this much indebtedness, and it be global. Every country on Earth is in the tank. Maybe not Iceland.
Yeah, Iceland's the only one that's shown any real intelligence. What do you think about derivatives? My understanding is that they're basically here, at least in a large sense, to guarantee debt.
Well,
they're the insurance on a lot of the debt. Is that true or false?
I wouldn't consider it the insurance? Yes. Credit default swaps are insurance. That's what happened to AIG. You know, they've never defaulted before, and we'll issue credit default swaps. In other words, you can offload your risk to us, and we'll be an insurance company. When it defaulted, they defaulted so huge, they went under, and they required a government bailout, and the banks required a government bailout because they had to have AIG perform for them not to go under, which is what the whole Goldman Sachs, you know, fraud was, which was a government bailout to bail out Goldman Sachs, which, you know, Lloyd Blankfein shouldn't be a billionaire now. He should be a greeter. Oh, I'm sorry. That impugns the greeters at Walmart. He should be like the guy that sprays the stuff in the shoes at the bowling alley. I'm sorry. That kind of impugns honest work. Excuse me. He should just be in jail.
Yep.
And so all that to say, who knows how this is going to go? It's going to go ugly, and you better be holding on to whatever is yours.
They have done something extraordinary. They've created a house of cards about 100 stories high.
And they added another 5 or 10 stories to it. They
put a penthouse on top of that, and they have plans to add a helicopter port. But this is a house of cards, and nobody knows how it's going down, but it seems certain.
It is. I think it is certain because the debt's unpayable. It wasn't payable in 08. And what did they do? They made more debt. So it's not payable now.
You know, if John Williams is correct, if John Williams is correct and we're $100 trillion in debt, and I've seen other estimates that go over $200 trillion for the national debt, including unfunded liabilities and whatever, I don't know when the last time it was even possible to pay this debt. I'm not sure it could even be done 2008, but it's not possible today.
It is not possible. Lawrence Kotlikoff, he talks GAAP. There's generally accepted accounting principles, GAAP. And then there's just GAAP. Here's your income stream projected into the future. Here is your liabilities and debt and projected into the future. And it gaps, right? And the gap is 200 and something trillion dollars, according to Kotlikoff, Boston University. He's a very smart guy and has testified in front of Congress. And, of course, they don't want to hear that. They know this. Listen, I'll tell you something else, too. I got this from Carl Denninger. Denninger, you know, he says, I don't know if people in the House, Maxine Waters or whoever, understand what's going on. He says, I guarantee you the guys in the Senate sure do. They understand what's going on. They do. They have to. I'm not that smart, really.
What are they doing about it?
Nothing. They passed this deficit. They passed this latest budget. Now, my theory is, Paul Ryan knows that this is bad, but they don't want the economy to crash because all those Republicans tried to cut, you know, spending or whatever. They gave Obama whatever the hell he wanted, and the reason why they did is because they know it's going to blow up. They just don't want to be blamed for it. Isn't that sick? That's our leadership.
I understand. Everybody's looking out for number one, and nobody's looking out for the country. No one's taking a real responsibility for the country. Greg, why don't you give them a little comment on USA Watchdog, what they can expect, how they can get there.
USAWatchdog.com or just Greg Hunter, GREGHUNTER. Listen, folks, just here's my thought to you. Get ready and stay.
Well, I guess we get ready. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Frank, the producer, and Greg Hunter. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day, and pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball.
Money, money, money. Money in a rich man's world. Money, money, money.